So let's talk now about the other intervention, which is remodeling, tissue anabolism, and just some interesting information about metabolic rate. So this is just like a second year kinesiology review here, or nutrition class review, but we know that our daily calorie needs are made up of these components generally. So our resting metabolic rate, which is about 60% of our total calorie need for the day, activity, which is about 30%, and then food, the thermic effect of feeding. So when we eat, we burn calories, which makes up another 10% of our daily energy expenditure. And during injury, the RMR can actually increase by 15 to 50%. A minor soft tissue injury, closer to 15. Larger scale injury, 50%. Usually we see data at that 50% range in like burn victims and things like that. They have, you know, these massive tissue trauma, and you see a huge increase in resting metabolic rate. So when we look at energy needs, it's important to consider that there may be an interesting shift in daily energy requirement when we're injured. So we'll just use an example of a young athlete, so like a teenage male. So it's 5'6", 140 pounds, 14 years old. So the resting metabolic rate might be around 1,600 calories. That's just based on calorie predictions and equations, which you all probably have seen and have access to. So the energy needs when sedentary for the day might be around 1,900 calories, okay? When exercising, so if this is an athlete and doing daily training, it might be as much as 2,700 calories a day. And during an injury recovery, it's somewhere in between. And why is this relevant? You guys don't need to memorize the numbers, and you certainly don't have to calculate calories, but I'm just using it as an illustration, because what happens is, and anyone, I mean, some of you have probably taken a week or more off exercise. What tends to happen to your appetite? Goes down, right? No one's experienced this. Take some time off exercise and you're just not as hungry. Now, sometimes there's a weird psychological effect that happens when you take time off exercise, where you're like, man, I'm not working out, so I'm gonna eat whatever I want anyway. And you see that, right? But nevertheless, if you just pay attention to appetite and hunger signals, it goes way down when you're exercising less, which is kind of an interesting strategy for you guys to think about independent of injury recovery. It's something I've been playing around with lately. I feel like generally in the fitness field, we tend to over-exercise our clients. And by sometimes cutting back on the exercise and just finding what we might call the minimum required dose, they tend to eat less when they're not with us. And they can get in better shape by working out less. It seems like an interesting paradox, but it just has to do with hunger. If they're not really, really following a prescribed disciplined diet plan, which, let's face it, most of your clients are not, then sometimes we want to use exercise to drive down hunger. And if we work them out too much, their hunger may go up. So it's just something to consider. But it's relevant here as well, okay? So if someone gets injured and they're an athlete and they're routinely training, let's say an hour a day or 2 hours a day or more, all of a sudden their appetite is going to go down. So we want to be really careful. So there's a reduced appetite. They may undereat, which might mean a loss of lean mass. Because they're not training, there may be a concomitant increase in fat mass. And you've seen this, right? Athlete gets injured, they gain a bunch of fat, lose a bunch of lean. The return to function when the injury is gone is bad. They're untrained all of a sudden. They have to retrain. So it's just important to be aware of this and to make sure that you're emphasizing good eating habits during the injury recovery. So keeping protein up, bringing calories down a little bit, but not back down to sedentary baseline, because they still have a higher demand for calories. So then let's look at macronutrients, okay? So what should the split be? Well, generally, it's kind of like general exercising. Protein should be fairly high, about a gram per pound, right? Because we need to be in an anabolic or building state during injury recovery. Fat intake, this is just to understand the numbers. This is what I would not recommend to clients. You should get about a third from each type of fat, so monos, polys, and saturates, and about a 1-to-1 ratio of omega-3s to 6s. And again, what does that mean to anyone? Absolutely nothing. I don't even know what that means. So a third of each type of fat, I'm not gonna calculate that stuff. So I'll show you in a few slides what that looks like in practice. And then carb intake, less than with training, But we generally see in the research that maintaining a stable insulin is useful for the anabolic process with respect to injury recovery. So here's how to do it. Let's make it really practical. When it comes to protein or when it comes to eating frequency, during an injury recovery, we say, let's eat every 4 hours or so, okay? It's kind of the opposite of what I talked about yesterday with the intermittent fasting. Here, we want to have a steady supply of nutrients during this period. Protein intake. Make it really, really simple. You tell your clients to eat 1 gram per pound, and they'll go, okay, yeah. And then when you walk away, they'll be like, I have no idea what that means. Okay, so instead, what I like to do is let's just use anatomical landmarks for our advice. So men, for example, you get 2 palms worth of protein with each meal. So if you're gonna have a piece of chicken or an omelet or whatever, just about the thickness of a palm and about the size of the palm, men get 2 palms, women get 1. Very, very easy, okay? You can figure out when you're out at a restaurant or out at home eating how much protein you're getting by that. A palm's worth is about 30 grams of protein, okay? Pretty simple. So men get 2, women get 1, and you know, if your clients don't know what protein is, which some of them will not, you should help them with that as well, okay? The next thing, vegetables and fruits. We'll use a fist-sized portion here. So with each meal, eat about 1 to 2 fists of fruits or vegetable. Okay? Another really simple. So we're kind of building our plate here, you see? So instead of being like, well, I want you to eat more of this and less of this and this grams of this, just say, each time you eat, I'd like, if it's a man, 2 palms of protein and 2 fists of fruit and veg. So you can see our plate kind of taking shape in front of our eyes, right? Next, we'll look at carbs or starches. With starches, we're going to use golf balls. Because I don't want to pick an anatomical landmark for that. But for men, let's say it's about 2 golf ball-sized portions of starches and 1 for women. And we want to go with like minimally processed stuff. And this is just good best practice of nutrition, right? So it could be oats, yams, beans, you know, rice, quinoa, whatever, okay? But that's the idea of the portion size. And then for fats, we can use our thumbs. So 1 serving would be about a thumb-sized portion. So, I mean, that's about 1 tablespoon of liquid, or if it's some mixed nuts, it would be less than a handful. Okay, that type of thing. So, you know, that's where we look at avocado, olive oil, all the things we listed earlier, seeds, nuts. Okay, so for men, it would be about 2 thumb-sized portions, and for women, 1. Okay, so you can see how we're building out sort of a menu just based on portion sizes of something that's very close to your plate, your hands, all right? So it becomes very, very simple. Is it precise? No, but it doesn't have to be. You'll be in the ballpark. But it's just simply great, great advice for clients, okay? Because giving them anything more complicated than this, and they just won't know what you're talking about.